Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack. Let's crack a beer and get the ball rolling, Mini. Wow, just here for the beer. What are we going with tonight, folks? Not gonna lie to you guys, I had a couple of people reach out to me saying it has been a while since you've graced us with some non-alcoholic options. For those that maybe haven't been listening for that long, what was it? It was almost a little over a year ago during Lent and like the spring season, March to April. I gave up alcohol for Lent, so for those 6 to 8 weeks or something like that, we did non-alcoholic options, and I guess that was pretty popular amongst people, and obviously, like I said, it's been a while, so yeah, what did we go with? Tonight, we're drinking the Hop Water. It's a Citra and Centennial from Fair State Brewing Co-op, and I have to say, the first couple of sips here, not my favorite. There's definitely a place for it, and there are definitely people that I think will like it. For those that are wondering, yes, we have done Fair State Brewing Co-op before. For those that maybe don't remember, it is, I know we've been kind of doing some breweries in that, what's that, like that northeast park, kind of by like St. Anthony, the northeast Minneapolis Arts District and that kind of stuff. But it's right, it's not on the corner, but it's practically on the corner of northeast Lowry Avenue and Central Avenue, not far from places that we've done before, like Sociable Cider Works, Spy House Coffee, stuff like that. So, like I said, we've definitely done stuff from the brewery or from the brewing co-op before. Haven't been there, and I have to say, like I said, it's a smooth drink. It's a Citra and Centennial hops. Citra and Centennial hop infused water, aromas of citrus, pith, mountain air, and pine resin. That's what it is for me, and with classic hop flavor. Not a bad option for those people that enjoy seltzers and things like that in nature that are looking for a non-alcoholic option. The taste for me, it's the mixture of the citrus and that, what was it? The pine resin that honestly just, doesn't mix well to me and almost tastes like I'm drinking grass a little bit, especially that aftertaste, and not something I particularly like. Now, like we talked about before, it's smooth. It's not super hoppy or super carbonated, if you will, but it's got enough in there to make you feel, like I said, like you're drinking a seltzer, but yet not particularly my favorite. So before we get into our rating here, like I said, Fair State Brewing Company, off the corner of Northeast Lowry and Central Avenue Northeast, fairstate.coop is their website. And like I said, doing this non-alcoholic option, for those that are looking for a brewery that kind of have a little bit of everything, Fair State Co-op is for you. If you go onto their website, they have, you know, numerous different beer options. They have cocktail inspired beer, sours. They have hop water infused with CBD and THC, stuff like that. They have dry hop table beer, fermentation table beer, a vermouth inspired beer, so a little bit of everything, if that is what you're looking for. I myself have not, like I mentioned, have not had the opportunity to frequent this establishment, but it is something that I've had people reach out to me, whether it be friends or fans telling me that this is a place you must try out. It sounds like it is dog friendly now that it's nice out. So if you have puppies and would like to do something with them, this is definitely a brewery you can check out with them. So yeah, I urge you guys, check them out. Like a lot of other places, you go onto their website, you can see a lot of different food vendors, events and trivia nights and all that kind of stuff that they got coming up here, especially now that we are kicked off in June here, full force in the summer months. So yes, definitely go check them out. You can see them at fairstate.coop. I was trying to say .com, but it's not .com. It's fairstate.coop. Then you can also find them on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter as well. And then they are opened Monday through Thursdays, 4 p.m. to 11 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays, noon to midnight, and then Sundays, 1:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. So go check them out. Once again, like I mentioned, summer months, we are out on summer break in the college world. So wanted to give a quick shout out to the Oklahoma Sooners on their third straight World Series title for them. Unfortunately, no new news on the Tommy specifically. But yeah, a lot of people seem to be thinking that, oh my gosh, this dynasty is this good or bad for college baseball? And I think the first thing that kind of stands out to me is dynasties aren't inevitable. Everybody falls down. Take a look at, the early 2000s Yankees. Take a look at the early 2000s Lakers. Take a look at the, Pittsburgh Penguins from what, 2015 to 2017 or 18. Take a look at the early 2010s Miami Heat, even the great Golden State Warriors. All dynasties, it's part of sports. All dynasties come to an end. Now, a lot of people may be thinking, well, they have a 53-game winning streak. Who's going to beat them? Somebody's going to come along and somebody's going to do it. This NIL stuff and everything is truly changing the landscape of college sports. So it's only a matter of time. But keep in mind, these aren't professional athletes. Yes, they're adults. They're adults, but they're still, some of these are kids, or some of these people are still kids. Some of these really talented guys and girls are, playing as freshmen who could potentially still be, 17. So like I said, congratulations to them. For those that get hyped up on, oh my gosh, is this a good or a bad thing for them with the dynasty? I'm not really buying too much into that hype. Other than congratulations to them, and good luck to all of the college baseball teams that are there in the super regional now. So they still have a ways to go before they get to the college baseball world, college baseball World Series. So yeah, like I said, with not having really anything to report on as far as St. Thomas is concerned, we're just gonna move right along like we always do. And this week's local business shout out goes out to Minnesota Resin. And for those that might be asking, Jack, what is Minnesota Resin? Minnesota Resin is a woman who, very short and simple of it, is a maker of resin art. She's out of Minnesota. She's got a shop and everything from online through Instagram, And I urge you guys, go check her out. It's just all lowercase, Minnesota Resin, R-E-S-I-N. And you guys really just have to take a look at some of the stuff she's created. It really is amazing. It looks like you can DM her for purchasing things or custom pieces. If you go on to her Instagram, you can see some of the pieces that she's made in the past, some of the things that she has for sale. And like I said, I can hype her and this up as much as possible. But the reality of it is you guys just need to go check it out yourself. I think all of you are going to be in awe of all the stuff as well. So yes, like I said, go check her out. Minnesota Resin. She is on Instagram. And then she also has a link to what she has for sale on her Amazon website on her page too. So Minnesota Resin on Instagram. Check her out. And I can guarantee you guys, you will not be disappointed. Will not be disappointed. So with that, onward and upward. So the Twins, unfortunately, not a whole lot to see here. Not a whole lot to report on. Oh my gosh. Didn't realize I never kind of have to go back I just took another sip of this. I kind of have to pop back quick to just here for the beer. Like I said, not my favorite. Never rated it, but I'm going to have to go like a 5-2. Like I said, it's one of those things where I'm going to, you know, finish it. You know, I don't like to not finish a drink or something like that, regardless of how good or how, you know, bad it may be. But yeah, 5-2, like I said, there are people out there that will like this and it will really enjoy it. But at the end of the day, it's not for me. It's not for me. So 5.2, and getting back into it. So, you know, again, not a whole lot to talk on the Twins, obviously, for the first time, with the conclusion of last night's loss to the Rays, it's been a long week, earlier tonight's loss to the Rays, the Twins extend their lose streak to 5 straight games now and have lost 6 of 9. The low and short of it is Tampa is single-handedly the best team in baseball right now. They have a 46-19 record, and we went to Tampa Bay. Would it have been nice to bring and pick up a win from Tampa Bay? Absolutely, but it's not like beating a team like the Tampa Bay Rays is an easy feat. You know, again, we don't talk about you know, moral wins and that kind of stuff here, but, you know, outside of that first game, it's not like we got blown out the entire series. You know, that game two against the Rays, losing 1-2, only were down 1-0 for most of the game, tied it up in the ninth inning and lost in a walk-off, unfortunately. And then even earlier tonight's game, losing 2-4, the Twins actually had a small 1-0 lead in the fourth, before the Rays answered with 3 innings in the fourth themselves. But yeah, like I said, I don't want this to be misconstrued, and I don't want people to think Jack's talking about moral wins here and, you know, all that kind of stuff, because I'm not. But the silver lining in this is it would have been pretty easy for us to go down there and just get smacked around for 3 games. And the reality is that's not exactly what happened. So we can still be upset with our team being under 500 for the first time this season. But at the end of the day, at the end of the day, we're still 1.5 game lead at in the AL Central. So again, you know, kind of getting to the heart of the not the heart of, but you know, the start of the summer and all that good stuff. So it should be fun to be able to get out and watch some of these games in person. And then for those that are wondering what the Twins, excuse me, have coming up here, they will continue to be on the road for just one more series before heading back home. So tomorrow night they will be in Toronto at 6:07. Saturday they will be in action at 2:07, and then Sunday at 12:37 p.m. before coming back home for a quick two-game series against the Milwaukee Brewers at 6:40 on Tuesday and 12:10 on Wednesday, the 14th, and then we'll face off against the Detroit Tigers, which will be the third of a like 11-game, 10-game homestand for the Minnesota Twins. So hopefully they can string a couple of these game wins on here and make that, you know, 5-game losing streak seem like something of the past. But we're just going to have to wait and see. Very similar to the MLB, the Twins, not a whole lot to report on as far as the loons are concerned. They were in action once between the last podcast, and they ran to a 1-1 draw with Toronto FC. But the main thing we want to talk about here about the MLS is Lionel Messi coming to Inter Miami. Literally right now, the worst team in the MLS. But a lot of people are very, very interested because he was reportedly making 45 million per year in PSG. And looking into it, the MLS has very strict salary cap and roster rules to prevent things like this with any one player. So people are curious as to what deal he is getting. So here it is. The Miami Herald actually reported that it's going to be a complicated deal that's valued between 125 million and 150 million over the length of the contract, which is estimated to be 2.5 years in length, with an option for the 2026 year. The report states it would include salary, bonuses, and equity in the team. Both Apple, the MLS broadcast partner, and Adidas, one of the league's biggest sponsors, were offering profit-sharing agreements on merchandising and subscriptions to MLS season pass for him. The news of Messi's MLS decision also came one day after Apple announced a four-part docu-series on Apple TV Plus about Messi's World Cup journey, from his first tournament appearance in 2006 to the eventual trophy he won in 2022. So, very, very interesting stuff here. It's also reported that Messi will be making his debut on what's that, July 21st, which, looking at the Loons schedule, does not look like they would be taking on him in the rest of the season. So that is a bummer, but next year should be fun to see him come to town and screw around. So yeah, for the soccer fans, the one game in action that the Loons have this next week is they will be in Montreal to take on CF Montreal at 6:20 on Saturday, June 10th. So that is what we have for the Loons this week. Quick Stanley Cup Finals update. The Golden Knights, excuse me, spanked, for lack of better words, the Panthers, the first two games of the series, currently ahead, 2-0. The Golden Knights beat the Panthers, back on Saturday by a score of 5-2, in large part to a 3-goal third period. And then game two, just a couple nights ago on Monday, was a 7-2 victory for the Golden Knights. That time, thanks to getting the game's first 4 goals, and then just proved to be too much for the Florida Panthers. The Panthers are currently down a little over halfway through the third period, 2-1, and for Florida's sake and for my sake, because I have the Panthers winning this, I really hope they can find a way to tie this up and find a way to win this game. I think if the Florida Panthers go down 3-0 in the Stanley Cup final, it's going to be pretty dang close to impossible for them to not only win it, but just make it a series. Because like I said, with how well the Golden Knights played in the first 2 games in Vegas, them if they go down 3-0 and having to win 4 of the last 4 games, with what's that, 2 of them coming in Vegas, with being outscored 12-4 in 2 games in Vegas, I don't like their chances. So I hope they find a way to win this game, like I said, for their sake and for my sake. So we're just gonna have to patiently wait and see. There will for sure be a game 4 as of right now. That'll take place on Saturday the 10th. And then should the Panthers win tonight, a game 5 may be necessary. And that will be on Tuesday the 13th. So that is what we have for the Stanley Cup Finals. The next topic we want to talk about here, got some kind of general questions about it. And I don't know if you guessed it, but it is... in terms of what has happened this last week with golf. So for those that don't know, as of Tuesday, it came together very quickly. The PGA Tour and LIV Golf united for golf. So what it so here's like the official statement. It says shortly after 10 a.m. Eastern time, the PGA Tour Commission Jay Monahan sat down with Yasser Al-Rimahan, the governor of Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund PIF, which is currently financing LIV Golf, on CNBC to announce that their circuits, along with the DP World Tour, that's essentially just the European Tour, have reached an agreement to unify and form a larger commercial enterprise. PIF, with more than $600 billion in assets, will be leading the leading investor in the yet-to-be-named new entity, and it will become the premier corporate sponsor of the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and other international tours. So the first thing... You know, a couple people asked me, Jack, what was your, overall reaction to this happening? And truthfully, when this happened, I couldn't help but feel bad, like really bad, for guys like Tiger Woods and Rory, who have been doing nothing but trying to keep the integrity of the game. They were both offered stupid's amount of money to go join LIV, and instead of taking the money like a lot of guys do, and taking money is not a bad thing, it's your God-given right to choose, they stayed back, and they wanted to see how things were gonna go here, and they advocated, hey, if we're gonna stay, the players need more, reach some agreements. So for them to have no say in all of this, I mean, you ask some of these guys, you can go on YouTube, you can go on any news outlet source, And these guys will tell you they heard about the news the way everybody else did with the announcement happening. So, excuse me. So a lot of people want to know how this deal kind of came together. And apparently, with what I've heard, it sounds like on Tuesday, the Tuesday when it actually happened, it came together very quickly. It sounds like the PGA Tour policy chairman, his name's Ed Harrily, and board member Jimmy Dunn, who is well connected in the golf world, they helped lay kind of the groundwork for this agreement and had the initial meeting with the PIF leader. It goes on to say in the video conference with reporters, Monahan said the PGA Tour had been in talks with the PIF for about 7 weeks. There were four in-person meetings as well as video conferences and telephone calls as they technically reached an agreement on Monday night. So a lot of people also want to know what changed Monahan's mind about the PIF, and truly, I don't know specifics. I don't know that people know specifics. I think he saw the amount of money that was offered towards Tiger Woods and was like, oh, can I get on this action? So it's tough, it's tricky. Nobody really knows what to make of it yet. Guys, it like I said, it sucks. The Tiger Woods, the Rorys, the John Rahms finding out about this just like everybody else. And a lot of things are up in the air right now still. But the biggest thing is these guys are just being told, hey, it's life as usual, it's tournaments as usual, and we'll give you more information when we hear. So hopefully we will have more news and more concrete evidence, more concrete plans as to what things are going to look like in the weeks to come. I can't imagine all of this coming into fruition until probably the 2025 season at the very earliest. But once again, we're just going to have to wait and see. Can't emphasize enough how bad I feel for the likes of Rory, Jon Rahm, Tiger Woods. It's pretty fucked up if you ask me what Monahan and the PGA Tour did, but life is life. You take the news with anything and you move on and you figure out what to do going forward. So when we know more, you guys will be the first ones to hear, excuse me, from us. Very, very, intrigued with where we're sitting and what this NBA Finals looks like. I have to say, I think I told you guys at the beginning of this NBA Finals that, Denver between these two teams was my pick, and Denver's just been bullying everybody. So I said, Denver in, four or five. I'd be amazed if Miami could get out a win, and they did. The Heat snuck by the Nuggets 111-108 in game two, which was pretty impressive because this was a game that saw the Heat up by as many as 12 points. And I was in awe that the Heat were able to pull off not only a win, but to steal a win in Denver. The Nuggets obviously were able to reclaim home court, getting the 109-94 win, in Miami, last night. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. We obviously got game four coming up that is necessary at 8:30 on tomorrow night, Friday. And then game five will be necessary as well now that the Heat have a game. That'll be Monday, June 12th. And then should we need more, game six would be to Thursday the 15th. Game seven would be Sunday, June 18th. So a lot of interesting things coming up And it should be interesting. I'm curious. These games that the Nuggets have won have been pretty sizable blowouts. The Nuggets beat the Heat in game one by 11 points, and then in game three by 15 points. So it seems like if the Heat are going to get a win, they're going to need big games, obviously from Jimmy Butler, but they're going to need their guys off the bench to play big minutes and big roles to be able to get the job done and to be able to just make it close like this. So it'll be very, very interesting to see what happens. And again, Jokic and Jamal Murray are just playing out of their minds right now. Two 30-point triple doubles in the same game in the NBA Finals. Completely unheard of. Completely unheard of. But like we always say, on to the next one. So I actually got a question from Hannah this week, and she was interested as to what happened to the Lynx this last week, and due to the Canadian wildfires, the WNBA postponed the game that the Lynx were supposed to have earlier this week on Wednesday with the Liberty. So their next game will be against the Indiana Fever tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Currently 1-6 in the Western Conference, and then they will be in action on Sunday the 11th hosting the Sparks, and those will be the only two excuse me, the only two times they will be in action, hosting Indiana and Los Angeles within the next week. So before we wrap up for the day, we do have some pretty big news to talk about. It was announced earlier that the Vikings were releasing Dalvin Cook. And obviously, I have mixed feelings about this. With the release of him, that obviously tells us that the Vikings couldn't get a trade partner or couldn't get what they were wanting for a trade in Dalvin Cook, which kind of surprises me, despite the fact that I do trust this regime of Kwesi, KOC, all these guys. Because again, these guys are doing things that typical Minnesota Viking front office wouldn't do. Sure, it would be like, and I go back and forth specifically on this one just because I struggle from the standpoint of if you're going to, like, you have a great back in Dalvin Cook, and even before things, we weren't sure what was going to happen. We gave Madison a nice deal for the next couple of years, assuming he was going to be RB1. So it's interesting to me that we didn't try to get something for Dalvin Cook and let him essentially leave for nothing. But at the same time, I'm sure there were teams that were probably not wanting to offer us what we wanted, considering his history of injuries. You know, obviously, Dalvin's still a great back. And wherever he goes, he's going to land on his feet and he's going to do great. But at the end of the day, like John said, are you worried that we've released Dalvin Cook? I'm really not, John. I think Alexander Mattison, I think it's been a while since we saw Alexander Mattison in 2021 starting those handful of games when Dalvin Cook was down. He has more than proved to us that he is, you know, another Dalvin Cook and can do just about everything Dalvin Cook can do other than having the name Dalvin Cook. Excuse me. So I think with that, I really do like the running back room that we have of Kane Nwangu, Ty Chandler, even this I can't hit. I know his last name was McBride. Was it? We picked him up in the seventh round. Was it Dwayne McBride, I think? So I really like that running back room. I think with what it's sounding like from OTAs, Madison is obviously going to be RB1, and then it really does sound like between Dwayne, between Ty, and between Kane, it's really going to be 2A, 2B, and 2C, which is what you want, you know? I mean, because the fact of the matter is, you never want to see it on your team, knock on wood. But injuries are a part of sports, especially football. And when guys go down, you hate to be a team that looks like you're caught with your dick in your hand, for lack of better words. So it's nice that we have that depth at a position like this, and super excited to see that Jaren Hall's looking good in OTAs. It's nice that Aqib 11 Evans is looking good. Again, I talked about this quite a bit with some people that know that I enjoy obviously talking Vikings and stuff like that, but it kind of surprised me with the lack of moves that we've made this offseason. But I kind of forget we were without some guys last year, like Lewis Cine, Andrew Booth Jr., that were out with injuries. So I kind of can't help but have a good feeling if our front office and if our coaches are comfortable with these guys that were injured last year coming back, and obviously can't wait to see them in their, sophomore seasons, and can't wait to see kind of what happens here. But obviously still in the OTA parts of the season, and can't wait to see kind of what all comes to fruition with all of this. So remember, guys, this podcast is about you guys, the listeners. If you have a topic you want me to address or a question you want me to answer, please reach out on Instagram, TikTok, or Twitter, or by emailing us. Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram handles are @miniweekend, and email is miniweekend@gmail.com. That's MINNYWEEKEND @gmail.com. And be sure to let us know if you'd like to stay anonymous with your questions as well. Also, find us and give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, where there are giveaways and you can stay up to date on all things Mini Weekend. And lastly, make sure you hit that subscribe button to get notified of the new episode as soon as it comes out. Till next time, Mini.